that are 90 years old and people that are 15 or 16 years old and sing about the same Savior that saved us. That's why one of the reasons why I disagree with contemporary worship services and traditional worship services and separating the body of Christ. We all got to come together and all the generations together and learn to worship God as one body in Christ. So it's good to have a night like tonight where we get to sing the hymns of the faith, and it's good to have even on our Sunday mornings where we sing hymns and some of the new hymns that we're singing. We just praise God for that. Well, tonight we've got, I'm going to be giving a devotional later on, but the reason why I mention that, it just does my heart so good to see young people in church on a Sunday night. And you see a lot of these young people in church on Tuesday night, our prayer meeting and Bible study. These young people are gathering together with us and they're praying. And we praise God for that. You know, Paul says this, he says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." We've got a couple of our young people. Actually, we were going to ask 5 young people tonight to share testimonies that young people that have come back from Word of Life. They're only here for about a week and a half. We want to find out what God's been doing in their lives, but 3 of them weren't able to do it. And so we have 2 young people that have been at Word of Life, and then there's 2 other young people that we're asking to share just about a 5 or 6 minute testimony of what God is doing in their lives and where God is leading them. And so we have Christine O'Boyle and Nathaniel Abbott and my 2 boys, Josh and Nathan, are just going to share what God's been doing in their lives. And as they share, they're each going to come up. We're going to start with Nathaniel, then Christine, and I think we'll have Nathan and Josh come up after that. Just listen to what God's doing in these young people's lives. Pray for them. Just, you know, these young people are going to share with you what God is doing in their hearts. This is the future of the church. And so let the Lord minister to you as they share what God is doing inside of them. And we'll ask with Nathaniel, wherever he is, to come first. There you are, Nathaniel, then Christine, Nathan, and Josh.
Good evening. So, I'm Nathaniel Abbott, and I've been attending Word of Life Bible Institute, first year in Owen Sound, Canada, and I've been going with Aaron Perry, too, who's taking the one-year course with me. And throughout the year, I've been learning how to properly interpret the Bible in its literal context, which basically means that what the Bible says is what it really says, and that there's nothing else to it. And so pretty much throughout the year, the teachers, they get us to be like the Bereans and really look into the scriptures, and instead of just taking every teacher at their word, we look in the Bible afterwards to see if what they're saying is true. And if everyone did that, then wouldn't be much room for apostasy that we see in the church today. And the academic part of the year, we have 5 classes every day. They're 50 minutes each, and that goes from Tuesday to Friday. And each week we learn a different book of the Bible from various lecturers, and we have a different teacher each week. Sometimes we'll have a teacher for 2 weeks, but that's only if they're special. Our lecturers, they're can be anyone from a pastor from a local church or from a church far away. The theologians and professors from other Bible colleges, and even some of the staff at Word of Life will teach us. And through the course of the year, we also have a Bible survey, where we take a survey of the whole Bible, and theology class, where we learn theology. I think one of my favorite teachers this year has been Pastor Ken Fillmore, and he taught the book of Galatians. And besides learning an awesome book, it was great to meet such a good man that really practiced what he preached. He was devoted to God, and he served God fervently and humbly, and just lived his life by example. And he really took us as students and to get involved with us. So that was pretty cool. And so what a lot of teachers and the lecturers do at Word of Life, which makes it very neat. We also had the privilege of having some very intelligent professors come, like Dr. Reynold Showers. He taught us the history of Earth, pretty much, right from creation all the way to Revelation. And he wrote a book, What on Earth is God Doing? And so we got to read that. It's a good book. And we also had Dr. John Wickham, who taught on the book of Genesis from creation to the Tower of Babel. And he also wrote a commentary on the book of Daniel and the book The World That Perished. And in that week, he pretty much destroyed the theory of evolution. But just on an interesting story he told us, it was during class, and it's been around for a while. He's like 80, and it was while he was in Princeton University. He's holding a chapel during night one time, and Albert Einstein showed up, and he got to talk to him and share the gospel with him, and he even gave him a tract and shook his hand and said that he was depressed because, Albert Einstein helped make the atom bomb, but it's good that he got to share the gospel. And then he just moved on with the class like nothing happened. Like, you meet Albert Einstein every day. It was just, I thought it was funny. And I've had a pretty exciting year at Word of Life so far. It's an intense academic course, learning the Bible, and we also have a chance to put what we learn into practice. Like in September, they took us to the streets of Toronto and just threw us out there and told us to tell people about Jesus. And we also did Recharge Winter Camp in the winter during the months of January and February, which was a good time and challenging time as well. And we also had many opportunities to help out with some of the local churches around in the area and to volunteer for various things. For example, there was a secular charity building called Restore. It was about 15 minutes from Word of Life, and every now and then they'd call us up after classes and see if we could come down to help. And because it's a charity organization, they're dependent on volunteer work, so they don't have much staff around. So us guys were more than willing to help out. And so we'd go and do that every now and then, and usually we'd be help emptying a truckload of office supplies or cleaning up the yard. So that was a great opportunity and just a good chance to keep up the Word of Life keep up the testimony that Word of Life has with that charity. And now I'm almost done my year. I've done all the academic work, but I'm not done yet. I still have the summer ministry. I'm going to be a counselor at Word of Life. Yes, a camp counselor. And I need to do that to complete my year, but I'm also looking forward to it. It's going to be challenging, and it's going to be very tiring, but that's why I want to do so much. I'm going to need lots of prayer, as much as I can get, and I very much appreciate any prayer you can give me. I'd be very grateful for it, and if you even feel so led to, you can even support me financially. I'm a college student, don't have any money at all. I even put some slips in your mailboxes just so it's easy for you, because I know how easy it's to part with your money. But more than anything, I need prayer. That's the most important thing. I need a way. got to be willing to step out there. And I think the theme of verse for the year I've had so far, I think, would be 2 Timothy 2:15, which is, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," which I think describes pretty much everything I've learned this year and what I've been doing this year. That's all. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. Okay, so as most of you know, Kevin, my brother, and I have been attending Word of Life in New York this year for the second year program. We both did first year at the same place as Nathaniel, and went to New York this year for the second year program. And as Nathaniel explained, first year is really biblical foundation and just every week studying a different book of the Bible and just really digging into the Word of God and seeing it for what it truly is. And then second year is a lot more like ministry based, where we're doing classes like youth ministry and children's ministry and all that kind of stuff. And it's really applicable to take what we have been learning in first year and put it into ministry. So that's been a really neat thing for Kevin and I to experience together, even as brother and sister, to kind of work alongside each other. But as most of you know, we went on a trip to Hungary just a couple months ago, I think, no? And that was such an incredible time. I wasn't supposed to go on that trip, and I kind of explained a little bit the last time I was home. But it's just so neat to see how the Lord worked that out and to be able to work alongside Kevin again doing that. And while we were there, we got to experience so many different things, just from going to schools and orphanages and churches and just seeing the people there. And I remember when we were on our way there, one of the leaders said to us, "You know, Christine, we really struggle to get out of the single digits for salvation and for decisions that are made in Hungary, because the people there are so hard in their hearts towards, like, from their past and their history." And so we kind of went into it thinking, like, what are we going to do? But also at the same time, like, well, we can do it. Like, we can go in there and we can make this happen. And while we were there, I just feel like that whole trip was based on, like, being humbled, because it wasn't about us at all. It was about what the Lord was doing through us for those people and showing them the love of Christ. And it was amazing to see the outcome. And it's not about numbers whatsoever, but praise the Lord that there was over 10 decisions made, salvation decisions, and just an incredible trip just to see the Lord's power in that. So that was a really neat thing. So that was just one aspect of second year that Kevin and I were able to experience together. But Nathaniel was talking about snow camp. We have snow camp in New York too, and it's like really intense because there's like 4 times as many people in New York at this campus, so it kind of threw me off a little bit compared to last year, but it was really neat to be able to be involved in that. But there's just kind of 3 aspects of this past year that have really almost, I want to say, changed my life. The Lord has used them as tools to just really change who I am becoming. And the first one was the ministry team that I was put on this year, was a women's ministry team working alongside 12 or 13 other girls who just love working with women. And that was a neat thing. We got to tour around. We went to Virginia and Quebec and Massachusetts, and we just got to put on women's conferences and show them the love of Christ. And I think that was my favorite thing about it, because we just took the Word of God and we showed them plainly what God says in His Word and how they can have so much worth. They have so much worth in Christ, according to Ephesians 1, showing them who they are. And to see the lights come on and them say, "Wow, this is who we really are," and helping them overcome sin, helping them overcome struggles in their life. And it's only because we showed them the Word of God. And as much as I was hearing the same thing over and over again in my life, you would think, okay, you're hearing the same thing every time you go to a conference, but every single time the Lord is breaking me down just a little bit more. And it just showed me that the Word of God is not void. No matter how many times we hear it, there's always something to learn out of it. And that was just one aspect of that. The second thing was being in the admissions department this year. It was really challenging for me because it took a lot of time away from my studies, but it was something that I agreed to do this year because it's a huge ministry. What we're doing in the office, 4 to 5 hours a day, calling teens all over America, who have shown somewhat of an interest in the Bible Institute, and calling them and hearing about crazy things that are going on in these teens' lives, coming from broken homes and struggling with sin and not even having relationships with the Lord, but having opportunities to lead many of them to the Lord over the phone, and helping them overcome things using the Word of God once again, because the Word of God is not void. And sometimes it almost felt so helpless talking to them, like, I don't know the answers. But when I pulled out the Word of God and just showed them what God's Word said, it was amazing to see how the Lord used that just to switch their thinking and see so many teens make decisions to just change their lives for Him. And so that was just the second thing. And then the third thing was discipleship. I had an older woman in the Lord come alongside me this whole year and walk alongside me and instruct me. And what I wanted this year was someone to say, this is wrong in your life. This is, attitude is wrong. This is how you're going to deal with it biblically. And to lay down the principles according to the Word of God and say, this is how you deal with this. This is how you're to live according to the Word of God. And that's what I had. And that was the most incredible thing for me, having someone older and wiser come alongside me and do that for me. And she used the Word of God plainly to show me the truth. And when I look at those three aspects of just this past year, the one thing that keeps going through my mind is the fact that the Word of God has been the thing that has changed me. The Word of God has been the thing that has changed the people around me. And the biggest thing is the fact that God doesn't have the Word of God, have His Word, just as a book of rules and commands that He just wants us to live by because He's God and He says do it. He wants us to have it, and He wants us to live by it because it gives us an abundant life, and it gives us a life of peace and just so much that we have to be thankful for. And I think when we shift our thinking from this is a book of rules to live by to this is how we have an abundant life, it changes our thinking altogether about the Word of God. So that's just kind of a little bit about this year for me. There's been so many different aspects that I could talk about, but I think that's been the biggest thing, is seeing the power of the Word of God. And in 1 Peter, when I was in Hungary just on this last trip, I read through 1 Peter just on the spare time that I had, and the first thing that kind of caught me right away was in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away." And when I look at the Word of God, I know it's incorruptible, and I know it never fades away, and neither does our relationship with the Word. And that's been the biggest thing for me, is my life has to be surrounded and aimed and like centered completely on what God's Word says. And so that's been a neat thing, just being put in ministries and put in opportunities that have just shown me that so clearly. So, and I just want to say thank you so much for everyone who has supported me, and through prayers and finances. This the last 2 years I've been away, I feel like I've kind of been out of the church for a little while. But every time I come home, I'm just so encouraged to see how the Lord is working in this church. So I just thank you so much. And Kevin, he wanted to be here tonight to share, but he just wanted to say thank you just for everything you guys have done for us. It's been so neat seeing the Lord working in his life. It's been such an encouragement just to know that we have our church family here at home. No matter what happens, we'll always have you guys. So I'm just so thankful for you. So that's just a little bit about what's been going on there.
Good evening, everybody. I've been asked to answer two questions tonight. The first one is, what is the Lord doing in my life? And the second question is, where is the Lord leading me? So just as kind of a backdrop to what's going on in my life right now. There's a verse that I've held really dear to my heart and in my life for the past few years. It's Galatians 2:20. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I've tried to live by this verse, Lord willing, daily in my life. It's been something I've tried, and I've failed a lot. I've failed many times, but the Lord has always held me fast. And this past year, at the beginning of this past year, I was faced with a big decision in my life, which was to go to seminary or to go to university, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I felt like both paths were right. I felt like both would be a good decision. And I sought to renew my mind again with this verse as the goal. If I can find my identity each day in the cross of Christ, I know I'll be able to test and approve what the perfect will of God is for my life. And I remember the day that my dad came home and he said, if you don't hear back, you know, today or tomorrow, let's head to the seminary and apply. And I was like, well, I know if I do that, I'll be going there, I know. And when I got home that day, I found the acceptance package, TOIT, so I knew. At that moment, I knew that in my heart and my life, God was bringing me to this school for a season, for the next 4 years of my life. And I asked myself a question. I said, you know, I'm going to be here for 4 years. How much is God going to do in me? Is he really going to work in me the same way he would work in me if I went to seminary? Am I really going to be blessed the same way I could have been or would have been? And I had doubt. In the book of Jeremiah, God delivers his people into the land of Babylon as slaves. And it's then that God says here in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I realized then that the will of God had put me in this place. So because God's will had brought me there, he had plans to prosper me there. If we live by his will, the Lord will always put us in a place where he will be most glorified and we'll be most satisfied. And that was great encouragement to me. Moving from a school of 600 people into a university of about 10,000 with a college of another 5,000, I needed that encouragement to know that the next 4 years in a secular university, I had hope that God would grow me in the way that he wants to. At UIT, I found a body of believers my age who shared the same desires that I did, desires to see God move in a big way and who are actively living that out. Surely, I realize that God has put me here, and God has brought these people here as well. And there's so much godlessness on campus. Like, high school was bad. I thought high school was bad. When you get to campus, you see, like, it's bad. It's bad. And I know you see it in the workplace as well, but God's name is profaned among all the nations that meet there. People worshiping other gods, saying horrible things, doing horrible things. And you ask yourself, what can we do as Christians? And as a church on campus, we've made a decision to serve God first, no matter what the cost. We have been striving to live that way. If it means suffering, we say amen, because that's what the Bible says. And the friends that I've made there, especially the ones who are at Newcastle as well as at the school, have been such an encouragement to me to see them serve in these ways. And now each day I strive to realize again, as I prepare for next year, what I'm going to talk about, and as I'm trying to realize that I need to be diligently living this out, I strive to see Calvary each day. We need to go back to the cross, to see Christ's accomplished work on the cross, and let that motivate us and give us the strength and the endurance we need to live the life that we live and to keep going for Christ. I know I'm still going to mess up, and I know I still do. I have days that I don't do what I want to do, and I don't step up in the way that I should. But God has always given me his mercy and his faithfulness as he prepares me for next year. And next year I have the blessed opportunity to be on the executive team at Campus Church as a leader for discipleship. And it's a team of 8 people that God has brought together in a great way. They're a great bunch of people. I'm rebuked by them and encouraged by them. And I'm excited to serve with them, especially in this specific ministry of discipleship. The Lord hasn't impressed anything so much in my heart as a passion to see young people and young adults taking up their crosses and following Christ. It is so important. Dwight L. Moody once said, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. He said, I will try my utmost to be that man. And this is stuck in my head and my heart. Through the ministries next year, my prayer and my goal is not that one man would be that way, but as an entire campus church, we could be striving to be that man or woman or whoever we are that is fully consecrated to God. The world has yet to see, or that campus has yet to see what God can do through a group of believers who are fully consecrated to him. And we move forward with the faith that God will do a mighty work. And discipleship is of utmost importance in this fight, which is why I'm excited and joyful about entering into this ministry. Through Bible studies, accountability partners and groups, and coming alongside each other, whether we're in the leadership or not, and just encouraging each other, preaching to each other, going from the Word so we can teach and rebuke and correct and train up each other so we can be living for God each day, so we can be challenging each other. Because if we go one day without seeing each other at school, it's just you're brought right down. It can be as much as like a class, and you're in class and you're just brought down. The things that you hear taught, the things that you hear said, we need to constantly, consistently be encouraging each other in Christ. Philippians 2:15 says, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And that's what we are striving to be on campus, living pure lives that are above reproach as we shine like stars in the darkness. We're surrounded by darkness, surrounded by people who couldn't care less. But if we can hold out the word of life to them and preach to them, then they will see the goodness. Romans 10:14 and 15 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And as Christians, we've been sent to do that. And I inform you guys, if you don't know, that the campus is an amazing opportunity for us to do that. It's an amazing place for us to go forward and to preach that good news and to speak it to people, not just to say, I'll let my actions do it because I don't swear, because that's not enough. It's not enough to just try and quietly live a good life and expect that people will come up to you and say what's different. We need to be, yes, living that life, but speaking the word of God, bringing that message to them. The Bible says that our very footsteps are beautiful because of that. God has given us life to speak to people, and we need to do that. And looking forward to next year and this preparation this summer, I seek to allow the Lord to continue teaching me, to work in me, and reminding me of that good news each day, that God became a man, humbled himself to death on a cross, rose from the grave, conquering that death, and he's given life to all those that he's called. And when I think about moving into next year, and the joys, it's a mixed emotion, because I'm excited but afraid at the same time, because there are many temptations at school. There are a lot of things that would tempt me to walk away from what I know is right. In Psalm 23, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then in verse 6, he says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as the Lord leads my life, and as he leads our lives, in Newcastle, at school, wherever we are, we must see it that way. God's leading us, leading beside quiet waters. God leads us into a good life if we live for him. If we're going to be living for him, we need to understand that. It is a good life, no matter how hard it may be. And that's where I'm trusting that the Lord is leading me in my life, and he will be leading me this year. Thank you.
Hello. Give me a second. I've always wanted to do this. My name is Josh Nadeau. As most of you know, I'm the older son to the beloved mustache that is adorning our pastor's upper lip, and my mom is the beautiful Tatiana Nadeau. I'm 21 years old, and I just graduated from the University of Ontario Institute of Technology, where my brother is starting with a Bachelor of Science in Comprehensive Physics. So 4 years ago, thank you. when I started my university career, I had no clue what that time would hold, or what the God who holds that time had planned. And in his sovereign wisdom, He definitely had something planned for my life. There was this club on campus, a Christian club called Campus Church, and it was through this ministry that the Lord challenged me, convicted me, encouraged me, and grew me up in my faith. You heard my brother speak about Campus Church. The vision of Campus Church is for our campus to experience the fullness, purpose, and truth of Jesus Christ in their lives. And last year, in my fourth year, I had the privilege of being president of this ministry, which is something that has touched me in ways words cannot describe. The summer before fourth year, so a year ago, I was face to face with this call in my life, and I was horrified. The position of this leadership was too far beyond something that I could do. It was too much for me. It was something that I was not prepared to do in my life. To lead a large group of Christians that is still continually growing by God's grace, to be their example, to encourage their souls, to excite them and make them passionate for the Lord and for the lost, to push them to get involved in the work of the Lord, and most of all, to earnestly pray for them and to love them, was something that I know I was too weak to do in my own strength. So I struggled a lot last summer. I struggled with who I was in respect to who God is, struggled with why God would want to use me, struggled with if it was even me that God had called to do this. But there was this verse that struck me. In the book of Joshua, that's one of the blessings of having a Bible name, that when you come across a book with your name as the title, it's very personal. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, God is speaking to Joshua right after Moses had just died, and he says this: "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I learned this lesson very, very quickly. The way to lead God's people was to completely let go of myself and to hold fast to God through pouring myself out to him through prayer and to dive deep into the promises and the truths found in his word. It's not by my strength, it's not by my might, but by his spirit, declares the Lord. This past year, the Lord has truly gripped my heart in a brand new way. I have never been so blessed or humbled in my entire life. I've seen Christians fight through trials and come out praising the Lord on the other side. I've seen Christians weaken their faith, grow, and be able to teach others. Excuse me. I've seen people fall in love with Jesus all over again. And I've seen the Lord work miracles on campus. And most important of all, I've seen the Lord bring people to himself and save souls. For a time, I thought that I was president to bless others, but it was I who, fighting alongside devoted Christians, was blessed to the point that pride can have no standing. God is doing an amazing work on campus. He's taking the meager loaves and fishes that a handful of courageous Christians are bringing. And he's multiplying them in ways that are proclaiming his loving truth to a campus that so desperately needs him. So it was in this year, that I realized that it was the end. That was the end of my 4 years. It's come to a close. And there's a new path that God has in store for me. And all I needed to do was find out what this path was. So in a nutshell, God has led me to seminary. So in the fall, I plan to move to Toronto and to go to Toronto Baptist Seminary for my Master's of Divinity. I can remember a Wednesday about a month ago, walking home from in the rain, knowing that my final grades have been posted online. That's the benefit, I guess, of being at a technological school. Once things are available, it's all online. I don't have a cell phone or anything, so I couldn't check my grades as I was walking home. So I was praying, and I remember saying to God, "If I graduate right now, I know where you've called me, and I will run there as hard as I can. I won't look back. I won't give up. I won't give in. I can't look back. I can't give up. I can't give in." It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, the cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, this is a man in Jesus, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And as a hymn writer once wrote, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Until then, God will still prove himself to be faithful in my life and continue to teach me, to lead me and guide me to the place where he wants me to be. The one who's called me is faithful, and he will carry me on. He will sanctify me through and through. And one day he will call me home, and my faith shall finally become sight. In my life right now, God is teaching me the importance of trust. Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12 says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. God has been challenging me to trust him with all that I am. To trust him with all my time, to trust him with all my loves, to trust him with my work, to trust him with my money, to trust him with my reputation, to trust him with my future, to trust him and him alone. I can only imagine what God would do if I trusted him the way that I should. If I finally gave up on myself and realized that there's nothing in me, nothing that I can do or have ever done that has ever deserved trust, nothing that would ever make me think that it's better to trust myself than to trust in God. If I finally gave up on the way that seems right to this man and let God take complete control of my life, of every area, not worrying about anything, I know that I would finally understand what true peace is. There's a woman that once said this quote, so I'll read it to you. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than the light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. That is what God is challenging me with, a completely trusting heart, a faith in a God who can do immeasurably more than all I ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within me, to submit myself fully to the God who works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose, and to take up my cross and follow him. God is teaching me that a half heart is no heart at all. And I plan to give God everything he deserves and everything that his cross paid for. As it has been said, shall not the Lamb receive the full reward of his sufferings? Thank you.
But I'm not going to be long tonight. I just want to share a few thoughts. You know, I just praise God to see what the Lord is doing in some of these young people's lives. You know, when the Lord called me into ministry, I want to say something. When I came into vocational Christian ministry, I said to the Lord, Lord, I never want to see myself as a pastor with a capital P. But I want to see myself always as a Christian with a capital C and a pastor with a minuscule P. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we serve Jesus Christ as believers because of our union to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're in vocational ministry or not. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are a servant of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a wife or a husband or a child in school. It doesn't matter whether you're at Word of Life Bible Institute or whether you're University of Ontario Institute of Technology. We are all servants of Christ. Every single one of us who know him are called to be servants and slaves of Jesus Christ because we have been united to him by grace through faith. And Paul says something absolutely amazing in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. I just want to share 5 minutes what he says here. He says, Therefore, my dear brothers, he says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul says, we need to stand firm as believers because Christ is risen from the dead and he is Lord. We must stand firm. Let nothing, absolutely nothing in life move us. And then Paul says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 4 principles that Paul says there. Number one, you and I need to serve the Lord faithfully. He says, always. Serve the Lord faithfully. It's not always easy to serve Christ, is it? There are temptations and trials and difficulties we all face in life. It is not always easy to get up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to serve you today. But Paul says, let nothing move you. Always, not sometimes, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. God calls us to be faithful in our service to Christ. And you know the Lord promises to reward a faithful service? You know, I look forward to the day, and I long for the day to when I see Jesus, and I long to hear the words, "Well done, good and what? And faithful servant." Secondly, Paul says, we're to serve the Lord sacrificially. He says, always give yourselves. Serving Christ is a sacrificial service. It's going to cost something. You must give yourself. I mean, it's not only a faithful service, but it's a sacrificial service. It means sometimes not getting your way. It means just giving yourself. I mean, Christ gave himself for us. Nathan quoted that verse from Galatians chapter 2, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." Serving Jesus Christ is a sacrificial thing. It's not about me anymore. And sometimes that means my time is going to be taken up. It means I may want to do something. Just the other night, a couple of weeks ago, I was exhausted. It was a Monday. It was one of the first days off I've taken in a long time. And I was driving by the church, or I came up to the church here for a minute with Tatiana, and all of a sudden this couple who were having major issues in their relationship ended up here in the parking lot. It was the last thing I wanted to do was to minister to a man and his wife who were fighting with one another. And I realized that, Jacques, you know what? Always give yourself. Sacrificial. And then the third principle is we need to give ourselves not only a faithful service and a sacrificial service, but a wholehearted service. Paul says, always give yourselves fully, fully. Not just a half-hearted service. Give yourself fully in service. Your whole heart. I mean, we're to love God with all of our hearts, but the scripture says we're to serve God with all of our hearts as well. How can we do any less for the one who did so much for us? And then the concluding one is we can serve the Lord confidently. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, I went down to the Together for the Gospel conference there just about a month and a half ago. Got to hear men like John MacArthur, John Piper, great guys. R.C. Sproul, great guys. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, I love Piper. It's probably my best. Like, if I had to pick a preacher that I love the most, I'd probably say in this world right now anyway, it's John Piper. But the Lord, the man that God used the most to speak to me in that conference wasn't MacArthur. It wasn't Piper. It wasn't Sproul. It's probably a guy you've never heard of before. His name is C.J. Mahaney. Just an ordinary pastor who's pastored a small little church for many, many years. He was the last guy to speak. He spoke on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. You know that text of scripture, always preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Most of the guys that preach on that passage of scripture will preach, focus on that phrase, preach the word, but he didn't. You know what he focused on? He focused on preach the word with great patience. And his message was this, you know, you're going to preach the word to people, and they're still going to fail sometimes. They're still not going to be what you want them to be. And he says, you know what? You need to do it with great patience. Because God is going to do his work. And that's what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're working with young people, if you're working with seniors, sometimes ministry is not always easy. If you're leading a choir and they're not sounding the way you want them to sound, what does the Lord say? He says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God is going to accomplish his purpose. You may not see it. You may not understand what God is doing in their hearts, but God is going to do it. If you belong to Christ, that is a message to you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, thank you and praise you so, so much for saving us. Thank you, Lord, that by your divine mercy, we belong to Jesus Christ. Father, the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. We are no longer our own. We belong to him. Thank you for what you are doing in these young people's lives, Lord. The four of them that we heard from tonight and so many others in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives as adults. Father, help us to live by this verse that we just read in 1 Corinthians 15:58. You've called us to stand firm as your people, to let nothing move us, and to always give ourselves fully to your work, because we know that our labor in Christ is never in vain. Thank you and praise you for that great and precious promise. And when we get discouraged, help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to remember that you've called us, you've commanded us, because Christ is risen, to stand firm. And so give us the grace to do that as your people, Lord. Every single one of us here who knows the Lord Jesus, help us to love him, help us to serve him, help us to keep on serving him no matter what it is that we face, knowing that, Lord, you will do your mighty work. And Father, we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name.